followers of the devotional path.
Followers of the devotional
path. Kvachit, in any circumstances, brushyanti, fall down, margat, from the path of devotional service. Tvai, unto you, baddha sahrada, because of being fully attached to your lotus feet. Tvaya, by you, abhigupta, always protected from all dangers. Vicharanti, they move, nirbhaya, without fear. Vinayaka anikappa, the enemies who maintain paraphernalia to oppose the bhakti cult. Murdhasu, on their heads. Prabhu, O Lord. Translation, O Madhava, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of the Goddess of Fortune. If devotees completely in love with you sometimes fall from the path of devotion, they do not fall like non-devotees, for you still protect them. Thus, they fearlessly traverse the heads of their opponents and continue to progress in devotional service. Purport. Devotees generally do not fall down, but if circumstantially they do, the Lord, because of their strong attachment to Him, give them protection in all circumstances. Thus, even if devotees fall down, they are still strong enough to traverse the heads of their enemies. We've actually seen that our Krishna conscious movement has many opponents, such as the deprogrammers who instituted a strong legal case against the devotees. We thought that this case would take a long time to settle, but because the devotees were protected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we unexpectedly won the case in one day. Thus, a case that was expected to continue for years was settled in a day because of the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had promised in Bhagavad Gita, Kaunteya, Pratijanihi Name Bhakta Pranasati. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. In history, there are many instances of devotees like Chitraketu Indra Dumnya and Maharaj Bharata, who circumstantially fell down but were still protected. Maharaj Bharata, for example, because of his attachment to a deer, thought of the deer at the time of death, and therefore in his next life he became a deer, because of protection by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, the deer remembered his relationship with the Lord and next took birth in a good brahminical family and performed devotional service. Similarly, Chitraketu fell down and became a demon, Vritrasura, but he too was protected. Thus, even if one falls down from the path of bhakti yoga, one is ultimately saved. If a devotee is strongly situated in devotional service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has promised to protect him. But even if a devotee circumstantially falls down, he's protected by Madhava. The word Madhava is significant. Ma, Mother Lakshmi, the mother of all opulence, is always with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And if a devotee is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all opulences of the Lord are ready to help him. Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna. Yatra Parto Danur Dara. Tatrasir Vijayo Bhutir Dhruva Nitir Matir Mama. Wherever there is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and his devotee Arjuna Parta, there is victory, opulence, extraordinary power, and morality. The opulences of a devotee are not a result of karma kanda vichar. A devotee is always protected by all of the Supreme Lord's opulences, of which no one can deprive him. Thus, a devotee cannot be defeated by any opponents. A devotee, therefore, should not deviate knowingly from the path of devotion. The adherent devotee is assured all protection from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation, O Madhava, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord of the Goddess of Fortune. If devotees completely in love with you or sometimes fall from the path of devotion, they do not fall like non-devotees, for you still protect them. Thus, they fearlessly traverse the heads of their opponents and continue to progress in devotional service. So the previous verse just talking about those who do not surrender to the Lord. And though they seem to cross over the ocean of material existence, because they don't surrender to the Lord, they fall from their position. So that was expressed in the words of Patanti Addo, they fall down. And then the previous verse talked about how the devotees easily cross over the ocean of material existence by remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, which is like a boat to cross over the ocean. And the devotees that cross over leave the boat on the other side for other people. So this verse here confirms that the devotee is different from the people mentioned in the previous verse, that is, those who do not worship the lotus feet of the Lord and fall from their position. So here it says that they do not fall from the path. Because they are Buddha Sarvada. They are firmly attached to the Supreme Lord with great friendship. So they do not fall from the path. Rather, they are protected by the Lord, and without fear, they step on the heads of the opponents, which of course they mean literal opponents like demons. Varka means that the opponents to bhakti, the obstacles to bhakti that may come up like kama, krodha, lobha, etc. In other words, of course this can refer to two types of devotees, those who are doing sadhana, those who are protected. So those who are protected never deviate from the path of the Lord because they are siddha and they don't fall from that position. That is the Lord's promise. And of course they never have any obstacles at all. Even though obstacles may come in their path, they are only seeming obstacles, and those obstacles act as a stimulus for their prema. Those who are not siddha, those who are practicing bhakti as sadhana, as Prabhupada mentions in the purport, they may fall from the path of devotion in the sense that they may have some circumstantial fall down or problem or whatever. But they never leave the path, and they are protected by the Lord, so they continue. And the example is given of Bharat Maharaj. So he forgot the Lord, and he began to care for the fawn, the baby deer. And he gave up the worship of the Supreme Lord completely, in spite of the fact that he had attained bhava stage and had seen the Lord. So he forgot to worship the Lord completely and took care of the baby deer. And then he remembered the deer when he was dying, and he became a deer. So all of that is part of his fall down. But he never left the path of devotional service. Why? Because when he was a deer, he remembered the Supreme Lord, and next lifetime again, he remembered the Lord, and he attained prema. How is that possible? It's the protection of the Lord. He was protected by the Supreme Lord. So in other words, even though he was a deer, he was a special deer. And normally deer just eat grass and whatever, but he was always thinking of the Supreme Lord, and he was remembering his previous life in which he made a mistake, and he had become attached to the deer. So that was the mercy of the Supreme Lord, that even as a deer, he could remember his previous life and regret his mistake. And then his next life, he became stronger. So his fall down acted as a sort of impetus for further progress in devotional service. So in other words, the Lord made some arrangement by which he could progress further in bhakti and finally attain prema. So this is how the Lord protects the devotee. So it says, Tvaya Abhigupta, the devotee is protected by the Supreme Lord. So though there may be many obstacles, they surpass those obstacles. As said here, they step on the heads of the opponents with their paraphernalia or whatever. So they're able to surpass all the obstacles on the path of bhakti. So, of course, we see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Abhichet Sudaracharo Bhajati Mamananya Bhak. So those who are completely dedicated to the Lord If they have that dedication and they don't worship anything except the Supreme Lord, if they happen to commit some bad activity, the Lord does not reject them. He accepts them. He says, "You're still my devotee." Sado eva samantavya. So you should still be considered sadhu. And this is the order of the Supreme Lord. That person must be accepted as sadhu. So the Lord himself accepts that person as a devotee, in spite of the fact that he has made some mistakes. So that is, again, say, the mercy of the Supreme Lord. He does not mind those mistakes. And what is to be done about that? So the only recommendation the Lord gives is continue the path of bhakti. So he does not have to do any prayaschitta or atonement for the sinful activities or whatever like that. The remedy for his fall down is the continuation of the process of bhakti. So in other words, the Lord overlooks those faults, and he accepts that devotee and encourages them more. So in that sense, the Lord protects that devotee. However, this is in the case of a devotee who continues the process of bhakti, and the fall down itself was not some sort of offense in the sense of committing sinful activities on the strength of the holy name, etc. So then the Lord overlooks those faults and he protects his devotee in that way. So on the other hand, if we have persons who are not completely dedicated to the Lord, then the Lord may not act in the same way. So for instance, for Bharat, because he was at the stage of bhava, which is almost prema, he had very great attachment for Bharata, and he made some special arrangement for him. So for those who are not so dedicated, more casual, the Lord will have less involvement. For those who are more dedicated, the Lord is more involved with them. So in that Sudurachara verse, it says Ananya Bhak. So that means one who's fully dedicated to the Lord and doesn't worship anybody else and doesn't do any of the process. To that devotee, the Lord acts in this way. So those who are not such serious devotees, who may worship devatas also, who may have other desires, not pure bhakti, etc., then the Lord does not respond in such a way. Yes, he responds, but not so much. So according to the degree of surrender, the Lord also responds to the devotee. And those who are practicing pure bhakti get more response than those who practice mixed bhakti, etc. Nevertheless, the Lord accepts all of these types of devotees. Four types of devotees, Krishna says, "I accept them all." But at the same time, he responds more to the Ananya Bhakta, one who is practicing pure bhakti, with no other desires, no other object to worship. So even though he has faults, he's not pure, he still has anarthas, the Lord's response to this person is more. So because he's not pure in the sense that he still has anarthas, then possibility of fall down is there, in any case in the material world. But the Lord protects that devotee. So this is one quality of the Supreme Lord. He takes personal interest in the devotees. And because of that, they can advance steadily on the path. So that is what is represented here. This indicates the sadhana bhakta. And he can steadily advance in spite of his faults, in spite of his mistakes, etc. The Lord is willing to protect him and nourish him on the path of bhakti and help him overcome all the different obstacles that may be in his path. So this is the particular response of the Lord to bhakti. For those who are practicing jnana, yoga, and karma, the Lord does not respond in the same way. So when mistakes are made, they may have very serious effects. So in karma, if they make one mistake and they chant a mantra wrong, then they get a really bad effect. They may become a demon or something as a result of that. They make some mistake in the sacrifice, they get no result, etc. And they may get a bad result. So in karma yoga and all that, mistakes do have a big effect upon the person. And then they have to do prayaschittas and so many other things to counteract the mistakes. And in jnana, again, if mistake is made, then they can fall from their position very easily. And then they have to start all over with karma yoga and get up to the position of jnana again. So mistakes in the other processes are not overlooked because the Supreme Lord is not involved and there's no protection there. And they have to start at a lower level and do great endeavor again to raise themselves up. So because the Lord is not personally involved with those particular processes, He's involved to the extent that they're in the Vedas and He recommends them for people who have no faith. But as Prabhupada is quoted here in the purport, that the devotee, the Lord promises, Name Bhakta Pranasyati, my devotee is never vanquished, he's never destroyed. So the Lord makes a promise to protect the devotee. He does not make that promise to the jnani and the yogi and the karmi. He doesn't say that ever, anywhere. So the relationship with the devotee is quite different from that of other persons. So, the Lord is so merciful and powerful that His influence extends beyond bhakti even. So we see the case of accidental chanting of the name. He even protects Ajamil, in spite of not even being a devotee and being a sinner. He protected him. And the Yamadutas couldn't touch him. Why? Because he chanted the name of Narayan accidentally. So that again we can say is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. In this case, not even to a devotee of the Lord, but simply because he uttered the name of the Lord. So the Lord is that merciful that even it goes beyond bhakti itself to accidental chanting of the name or performance of bhakti, etc. Or we see the case of a mixed devotee like Gajendra, who chanted prayers to the Supreme Lord because he remembered his previous lifetime prayers as a king, but he was chanting to get rid of the crocodile's attack. The Lord responded, and He personally came and rescued him from the crocodile. So the Lord does respond to those devotees with accidental bhakti or even mixed bhakti. So what to speak then of the Lord responding to a devotee who practices pure bhakti, who's doing sadhana, but he's doing uttama bhakti or pure bhakti. The Lord responds even more than that. Therefore we should not have any doubt about the protection of the Supreme Lord because of these examples we see even in cases of no bhakti, bhakti abhas, whatever, or nama abhas, or in case of mixed bhakti, karma misra bhakti, the Lord responds. So this is because of the Lord's attraction to bhakti. The Lord is controlled by bhakti. So He is controlled by accidental chanting of the name. He's controlled by someone who does karma misra bhakti. He is controlled by someone who does sadhana of uttama bhakti, pure bhakti. He is controlled by someone who's attained bhava or prema. So the sixth quality of bhakti mentioned in Nectar Devotion is Krishna Karshani, that bhakti attracts Krishna. And this is the final quality of bhakti of the six qualities mentioned, unique qualities of bhakti mentioned at the beginning of Nectar Devotion. So that particularly manifests in prema. But we see that even in this accidental chanting, there is some control. The person can control the Lord and get His protection even by accidental chanting, as in the case of Ajamil. But what to speak of a person who has prema? So the Lord is completely controlled by that devotee. So we see cases of that in the Ambarish. Ambarish had the protection of the Sudarshan Chakra of the Lord.
And the Lord himself said, I can't do anything. You go to my devotee for protection because he's got my Sudarshan chakra and he forgives you. Fine, then the Sudarshan chakra will not afflict you anymore. So in other words, he says, I'm under the control of my devotee. So to that extent, the Lord serves the devotee. But with Krishna, that idea of being controlled by the devotee takes more extreme examples we see there. So Krishna gets tied up by Mother Yasoda. Completely controlled. He can't do anything. He's tied up. Can't go and play. So he sacrifices his desire to play simply to satisfy Mother Yasoda. Mother Yasoda wanted to tie up Krishna. Krishna did not want to get tied up because he wanted to go and play. So he kept struggling and struggling and struggling, and he wouldn't get tied up no matter how much rope she had. But when he saw her endeavors to tie him up, which was an indication of her love for Krishna, so that endeavor to serve Krishna in that way, when he saw that endeavor was so strong, then he agreed to be tied up. So in other words, he was conquered by her prema. And so it is said that the ropes that tied up Krishna were not ordinary ropes, they were ropes of prema. And they tied up Krishna. So Krishna cannot be tied up by normal ropes. Any form of the Lord cannot be tied up by rope or whatever. Actually, the rope is a guna. It's called guna. So Krishna uses the gunas to tie up people in the material world. And the ropes of karma uses gunas. Krishna is in control of the gunas or the ropes of karma. So he cannot be tied up by those ropes at all. He's beyond karma completely. But Krishna is tied up by the ropes of prema. In other words, he is controlled by the devotee's prema or bhakti. And he is tied up. In other words, he sacrifices his desire for the desire of the devotee. And he agrees to act as they want him to act or whatever, and do whatever he wants them to do. So this is illustrated in the pastimes, particularly of Krishna, more than even the other forms of the Lord. Of course, all forms of the Lord will serve the devotees. But Krishna does this in a more remarkable way, especially in Vrindavan, because there he does not show his powers as Supreme Lord. So, of course, if he shows his powers as Supreme Lord, nobody wants to try to tie him up at all. They don't dare do it because he's the Supreme Lord and they want to respect him. So someone like Vasudeva or Devaki, they will never try to tie up Krishna. They got too much respect for him. But in Vrindavan, no one sees Krishna as Supreme Lord. So therefore, he is controlled by them in more ways. So we see the cowherd boys are able to defeat Krishna when they play with him in games, and he gets punished, he has to carry them on his shoulder. But we don't see that in Dwarka or Mathura. No, it doesn't do that. But in Vrindavan, the cowherd boys have a very, very friendly relationship, so Krishna comes under the control of the cowherd boys, or he comes under control of the gopis. So in this way, in Vrindavan, Krishna shows remarkable qualities of coming under control. How he is attracted to the devotion. So, of course, the highest devotee is Radha, and therefore Krishna is under her control, most of all. So he is the servant, he becomes the servant of Radha, he is the servant to Radha. This is expressed in all sorts of pastimes between Radha and Krishna, how he falls under her control and becomes obedient to her. So in this way, the Supreme Lord is under the influence of bhakti, which in its final form is prema. And in prema with Krishna, then Krishna is completely under the control of those devotees. But this also applies to all the other forms of the Supreme Lord. And it also applies not only to prema, but to lower forms of bhakti and sadhana, and even mixed bhakti, as we see. The Lord responds to the different devotees and he's willing to help them. It is, I think it is Parasarabhatta describes how he's a, I think, a disciple of Deshikacharya. So he's written a whole poetic work on the Gajendra Moksha. So there he describes how Vishnu was in Vaikuntha and Lakshmi was there and they were having some nice enjoyment there, very nice enjoyment. And then suddenly he heard the cry of, or the prayer of Gajendra, calling out for help. So immediately he forgot about Lakshmi. Immediately he forgot her. And he rushed to help Gajendra. He completely forgot. And then he rescued him. So he gave up the spiritual world, he gave up Vaikuntha, he gave up Lakshmi, everyone. And he simply remembered this the devotee who was crying out for help. So in this way, he responded to the devotee. And he forgot all about his other devotees in the spiritual world, including Lakshmi. So that is the attachment of the Lord, even to a person who didn't have pure bhakti and mixed bhakti. He's an example of karma mixed bhakti. But still, Lord was attracted to him. So the Lord is attracted to the devotee in any case, whether he's doing sadhana or bhava or prema or whatever. But of course, he shows the most subservience to a person in prema. But still, he responds to other persons as well. So this is the special quality of bhakti that attracts the Lord. And therefore, this is a recommended path. It is much easier than the path of jnana, yoga, or karma, where you do not get the direct assistance of the Supreme Lord. He's not, Krishna tells you, I don't respond. I don't have attraction for these other processes, dharma, sankhya, jnana, tapasya, all these sacrifices, etc. As much as I have attraction for the process of bhakti, that is what I really like. So, therefore, that is why it is recommended. It is the easier and quicker process because of the assistance of the Supreme Lord in all cases. So that is expressed here in this verse.
Guru Maharaj, though we may say that the Lord gives up all sorts of relationships and his places to extend his protection to the devotees, is it right to understand that he really gives up because the Lord is always there in Goloka? He cannot be said that he is not there in Goloka, but when we say that he left Vrindavan, I mean Vaikuntha, Lakshmi, and just came to save his devotee, how far we literally understand this? Lord is can expand in so many ways, so it is just his expansion which comes for the help of the devotees.
Either way, if he wants to, he can go, just like Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura and everyone is in separation. So if he wants to, he can leave, but at the same time, we also explain that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. And simultaneously, of course, he's in the spiritual world, and he's always in the spiritual world in Vrindavan as well. But in certain pastimes, it may appear like he does leave Vrindavan, as he did when he went to Mathura. He left and then he went there and everyone is in separation. So there's an appearance like that, but ultimately, no. He's permanently, eternally in Vrindavan in the spiritual world. But at the same time, in his pastimes on earth, he did leave. So there is times when the Lord does have particular pastimes where he does leave.
And as the devotees try to surrender completely to the Lord to attain his relationship, but ultimately, everywhere the part of ego plays a role which protects them or prevents them from having such sort of surrender. And sometimes the devotees think that the other souls are lesser in devotional service and try to look down upon them and think themselves as good devotees, and that causes a sort of barricade in surrendering to the Lord. How do devotees overcome this sort of thing?
Well, in the Shastastika, Lord Chaitanya instructs that one should think of oneself as lower than a straw in the street, more taller than a tree, and give all respects to others, etc. That is kind of an essential instruction, that in the performance of bhakti and chanting the holy name, we have to give up our ego and consider ourselves as a very, very insignificant person in front of the Supreme Lord. So that is essential for the practice of bhakti. In fact, Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Siddhartha says the first anga of bhakti is surrender. Because without that surrender, one cannot practice hearing, chanting, remembering, etc. If we don't accept that we are inferior and Supreme Lord is Supreme Lord, if we don't accept this position, then we can't do anything. We can't even do bhakti. So in the sense that surrender is implicit in all the processes of bhakti. So if we have the false ego pride where we think we're controlling everything, then this is counter to the whole process of bhakti.
Guru Maharaj, the point of accepting is different from the point of surrendering to the Lord completely. And because we are in the material world, we are kept up on being remembered about our...
Acceptance is the first part of surrender, we can say.
You can find in this video, in the form of Lord Chaitanya, the Lord has exhibited all the virtuous and compassionate qualities.
You mentioned about Krishna, yeah? In Kali Yuga, he's so compassionate. Even Jagai Madai, though he injured Nityananda, he was excused. So we can see that in this Kali Yuga, Lord is very merciful.
Yeah, the Lord Chaitanya is considered to be more merciful than Krishna in the sense that he wants to deliver even the aparadis and give them prema, etc. And he wants to broadcast the highest rasa of Krishna to all the fallen souls of the material world. So of course Krishna displayed his pastimes like the Ras Leela, etc. But those were not for everybody, and not everybody appreciated or saw. But Lord Chaitanya's ambition is that everybody in Kali Yuga should become a devotee and appreciate Radha and Krishna. So that's his special mercy, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, we could say that they're actually non-different, so we cannot say that Lord Chaitanya is more merciful because it's actually Krishna himself in another form. But it expresses that mercy in, to all the people of Kali Yuga by conveying to them all about Krishna. So in that sense, more merciful. Lord, excuse us and forgive us, devotees who make mistakes and repent. Why in our movement when some devotee make mistakes and repent, still he has to go out? Oh, well, it depends on the devotee's status. If the devotee is serious about devotion, that's one thing, then we can always forgive or whatever. If he's of a category where he's not so serious or whatever, and that his constant mistakes or whatever will affect others because of his non-serious attitude, then we have to separate him from the others because of that he'll cause bad association, etc. It depends on the particular case of the person. Of course, because many people accept Krishna in some way or other, they may be of different categories. Yes, okay, we accept Krishna, we accept Bhagavad Gita. They may not be so serious about following a particular sadhana that we follow in ISKCON. So what do we do with that person? We have to be all merciful and accept everybody that wants to say, I accept Krishna, come, and we accept them, let them stay in our place. We could do that, but then you would have a lot of people who are not so serious, and then our standards would go down because of that. So we also look at the standards within ISKCON. So if a person is serious about following all the standards and all the rules that we do have, fine. And we overlook the mistake, or whatever, according to how grievous it is, as long as he does not continue to do the same thing. If he continues in the same way, or if he's not so serious, then we have to, you know, remove him from the others because it causes bad association. So mainly the decisions are for protection of the movement itself.
But again, the instance of ego plays a great part in that. The person who has been told that he has to overcome his ego and make an approach to other devotees and try to accommodate himself there.
Yeah.
This will not happen.
Yeah. If he doesn't correct his mistake, obviously it's going to be difficult for him to continue and practice properly, even, and he'll just cause a disturbance to other people.
Maharaj, You explain about this Bharat Maharaj, that he was in Bhava stage and he fell down from that position. But see, he was in Bhava stage, okay, but when he was continuously remembering deer, to look after the deer, so that time he was not in Bhava stage.
He fell.
He fell, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't worship the Lord. He rejected worship of the Lord.
So he died, he passed away, he changed
his
body.
And then he was thinking of the deer when he died. Instead he was thinking of the Lord, he thought of the deer. So he was no longer Bhava.
Yeah, he's no longer Bhava. But yeah. Then, how is it possible who is not in a Bhava, you know, again he can remember.
That's the mercy of the Lord. The Lord protects the person on Bhava, even if he falls from his position. Because Bhava is a rare stage, the Lord makes his promise. So he makes some arrangement for that person, even if he does fall, that he can attain that status and surpass that position. That's the mercy of the Lord.
Before meeting that deer, you are practicing very nice service.
How did he get the attraction for the deer in Bhava stage? It says it was the effect of a previous aparad that caused material attraction. Huh? So in other words, in Bhava stage, the effect of aparad, previous aparad, whether in that lifetime or previous lifetime or whatever, can disturb the bhava. So karmas are generally destroyed by the end of asakti. So it is not simply karma, huh? It was the effect of aparad. So aparad lingers. The effects of previous aparads will linger and cause problems even in bhava stage. So they're more serious than karma. Karma is destroyed by the end of asakti, but aparad will continue to cause problems in bhava stage also.
Tapra remains still bhava, in prema is bhava. Do you understand? Until bhava, tapra still remains.
In the sense that the effect of a previous aparad can cause just anartha or whatever to manifest.
But beginning stage itself.
Anartha and vritti means the process is going on, but it continues in nishta, continues in rukshi, asakti, then anartha and vritti is going on. And at the end of asakti, as I said, the karmas are gone, and all that's gone. And in bhava, we still have a trace of ahankara, which also goes, and we have the trace of aparadas. That's still influencing that. So those anartha and vritti takes place in bhava stage also.
Maharaj, in case of relationship, like we see Mother Yashoda had a very loving relationship with Krishna. Whereas when we see between the relationship between the devotees, maybe senior, junior, at par level, we have a very respected, humble relationship. Why is it not good, or why don't we have such a loving relationship, like not having so much of respect and being so jovial, being so friendly between devotees, instead of being so respectful and inspired of being so humble? No, I'm asking, the relationship between Supreme Lord and Mother Yashoda is very jovial, very loving.
Yeah.
Why don't we have such a relationship between devotees instead of being so respectful and instead of being so humble?
Well, of course, that respect of Mother, or the relationship of Mother Yashoda and Krishna, of course, is prema bhakti. It's on a very high level. So if we look all the devotees there in the spiritual world, yes, they're all in prema. So their relationships are also like that, cowherd boys with cowherd boys, or elder cowherds with elder cowherds. It's the same, similar type move, because it's prema. So, and it's naturally manifested, all with Krishna as the center. So in the material world, we're doing sadhana bhakti. The bhakti itself is not so strong. So because of that, then we won't get such manifestations. Our attraction to Krishna is not as strong as in prema. And therefore, any relationship that we may show of friendliness is not going to be to the same extent. And consequently, even the relationship with devotees will be in a similar manner, because the bhakti is not so strong. Plus, we also have anartas, all the way into bhava stage. So that causes problems also.
Also, in material world, nobody likes to respect others. Everybody wants to be respected.
Well, that is the quality of ahankara, etc. But then, as we see in the Shishashtaka, Lord Chaitanya says, one should be, completely give respect to all others, not expect respect for oneself. So that is a qualification to chant the holy name. So if you continually desire the position and the respect and etc., then that's an obstacle to even chanting, the very beginning stages of chanting, if we're stuck with the ahankar, which is, again, we can say a reflection of what the 10th aparad, in spite of all the glorification of the roses of the holy name, we're still attached to our material things. So we don't that surrender is, and then the opposite of that is surrender. So that's why I said surrender was the first anga of bhakti, because to start bhakti, we do have to admit our subservience to the Supreme Lord, not that we're trying to control everybody and get respect from everybody.
Even a devotee doesn't want respect. He keeps getting respect because of his preaching.
Well, that is a matter of respecting for his devotional qualities as a devotee and his relationship with the Supreme Lord. In that sense, we respect. Material respect is respect because of something else. Huh? Because of material position or whatever, that is, and the motivation is quite is he has a desire to get that. That the devotee has no desire to get the respect, but others will automatically respect. That's
Maharaj, especially one who follows bhakti in our society, like if they somehow or other have aspiration to be a bhajanandi, whereas Prabhupada says that one is not supposed to be a bhajanandi, is supposed to be a goshtyanandi, right? So why is that? That thought comes to be bhajanandi, and if it comes, how do we have to...
It's a matter of quality only, a person's particular qualities, that he prefers that over others. So we see that Gaurakishore Das Babaji was basically bhajanandi or whatever. We can't criticize him for that. It's just his choice to do so. Huh? But, of course, Lord Chaitanya has stressed the idea of, you know, spreading the holy name to all towns and villages, etc. So that's the main emphasis. But we do see that there are some people who completely... renounce everything and practice on their own or whatever. It's also there. It's a certain tendency that some people may have, but generally we try to emphasize the preaching aspect.
So you're saying the femininity breeds contact. They're very close. The two persons who are very close, they become enemies later. Mm.
So that's why a certain type of respect should be there in all of the relationships as far as when we're in the material world is concerned.
Just in sort of continuation to what Sivananda was asking now, just as we do the sadhana, we try to even practice in a certain sort of relationship the sadhana, like in the bhava of say Vatsalya Rasa or Sakya Rasa, we try to choose and have that and practice in that mood. Just like that, is it possible to have a relationship among devotees in different rasas along with the devotees, so that we'll be able to have a much more free space to express ourselves and exchange our thoughts?
Well, these rasas are in relation to Krishna, not to others. You can't have Vatsalya rasa with another devotee, unless it's your child, I suppose, but then it's material rasa. So we don't have the same rasas with others as we have with Krishna. Even in the spiritual world, the Vatsalya is with Krishna, not with others. Not even the other children. It's all with Krishna. So, therefore, for those, but we do have relationships which are, we can say, ragatmaka or Aishwarya Bhava. So there's a difference in relationships, and that with Krishna, that will also influence the different devotees in their relationships. So in Goloka, the relationships between people are influenced by the Madhurya aspect rather than the Aishwarya aspect, whereas in Vaikuntha, all the people are like have four-ended forms, etc., and their relationship is more formal again. In that sense, there's some correlation, but as far as rasa, no, it's all related to Krishna.
In India, there are many spiritual institutions. In some of the institutions, the main leader, he thinks that he is Krishna, and others deal with him like they have rasa lila. They've been seeing that. So this is very wrong.
Well, yeah,
they can have that type of...
they're imitating Krishna then.
बहुत चलता है।